Well, it is a night to worship the Lord, and we've been led in just such wonderful music. I want to go back to the Gospel of Luke and look with you at pick up where we left off in that story of the Nativity in Luke chapter 2. Luke picks up the story where about 40 days later, where Joseph and Mary come to the temple to do for baby Jesus all that the law requires, and for Mary's purification as well. And they meet two individuals. They meet Simeon and they meet Anna. And I'd like to read that account to you from Luke chapter 2. And when the time came for their purification, Luke 2:22, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence for all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Simeon is one of my favorite characters in all of the New Testament. This man who absolutely trusted in God's promises and came into the temple faithfully to look for the fulfillment of that promise. And when he saw the Messiah, he was filled with joy. You can't help but be taken into this text and this story of this good and righteous man. And there are a few lessons for us that I'd just like to share with you this morning or this evening about Simeon that I just absolutely love. And the first one is that he trusted in the promise of God. Luke says he was righteous and devout. This speaks of his character, the manner in which he lived and how people knew him. But righteousness also refers to Simeon's standing before God. He was considered righteous by God through faith. He was first a man of faith. This is the only way righteousness is attained in the Old Testament and the New. From Genesis to Revelation, righteousness is only by faith. In fact, well before Simeon, Abraham, who was counted righteous by God because he believed God, not because he kept the law, not because he did good works or did good things, but in Genesis 15:6 it says, and he, Abraham, believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. A righteous standing only comes through faith in God. And Simeon was not only righteous, but he was devout. The Greek word here means reverent towards God. He was careful in the manner in which he lived in the sight of God. Carefully obeying and honoring God with his whole life. And Simeon's life illustrates a really important biblical truth. A truly righteous person before God will live a life marked by devotion to God. A person's righteous standing before God is only and always by faith. It cannot be achieved by works, as I've already mentioned. But Romans 3:20 says, for by works of the law no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. It doesn't matter how much of the law you keep. You cannot be made righteous by the law. That righteous standing will be seen in a life that honors God, a devoted life, as Abraham was counted righteous. Simeon was righteous because he believed in God. And then his life demonstrated that in devotion. But it's really important to realize you cannot reverse that order. It's impossible to live a devoted Christian life without first having placed your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Trying to achieve your own righteousness through devotion doesn't work. You will fall short of the glory of God. So you must be changed from the inside. Simeon was righteous because of his faith in God. His devoted life was the fruit of that inward reality. And he, it says in verse 25, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This term, consolation, has to do with the messianic hope of Israel. Faithful Jews looked for the Messiah to come and restore the kingdom, to rescue them from their oppressors, who currently in our text here is the Roman Empire. All Jews longed for this relief. They longed for this day that the Messiah would come. And Simeon looked not only for the Messiah who would accomplish national restoration, but he also looked for the Messiah who would accomplish personal salvation. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, it says in the text there. At Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came, and now in the New Testament church, those who put their faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you. Prior to Pentecost, in the Old Testament, the Bible describes the Holy Spirit being with people. With the coming of Christ, his death and resurrection, new life is given to all who believe through the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. For Simeon, the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it speaks that in a special way, the Holy Spirit was continuing with him. It was a special endowment by the Lord. And so it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. Christ means the Anointed One, the Messiah. He had received this revelation from God. Just a quick word on what a revelation is. In the Old Testament, God gave revelation to his prophets, and they were responsible to speak God's words to God's people. God held them accountable to do that. In the New Testament, God gave his revelation to the apostles, and for a season, prophets as well, but mainly the apostles. They received this divine revelation from God, and they were responsible to give it to the church. They did that by writing it down in sacred scripture. And so the word of God came in the Old Testament and the New Testament by revelation. Revelation does not happen today in that sense because it has been given in the word of God. And now we call that illumination. If the Holy Spirit is in you, revealing to you the impact of the text upon your heart, that is the Holy Spirit's work of God's revelation as you read it, as you hear it preached, as you hear it taught. And so Simeon, having received this revelation, was now trusting in the promise of God. This was his great hope, this personal revelation from God that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. And this gave him great hope as he trusted in the word of God. Simeon had received the promise from God, a promised hope that he could fully put his trust in. And there's a lesson there for us. God's promises in Scripture are guaranteed. Christ came and was born, lived, and died, and was risen from the dead, all prophesied in the Old Testament, all promised by God ahead of time. God's promises are sure. His promises include the forgiveness of all your sins for those who believe. His promises include a right standing with God for everyone who puts their faith in Christ. His promise is that through faith in him, you will immediately pass out of a state of judgment for your sins and pass into a right standing, a righteousness relationship with him. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." If you don't trust in the sacrifice of Christ to take the punishment for that your sins deserve, then you will pay that price for all eternity. But when you put your faith in Christ, you pass out of judgment. This is God's precious promise. This is the mission of the baby born in Bethlehem to come and die for your sins and to make this promise to you that if you will put your faith in him, you will have eternal life. So Simeon comes into the temple by the Spirit, by the leading of the Spirit. He comes into the temple area. Hieron is the Greek word. There's another word for temple proper, where the Holy of Holies was. And this is referring, Theron refers to the outer courts. And so he is in the outer courts looking for the Messiah. And the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. Verse 21 tells us he was already circumcised on the eighth day, but Mary had to offer a offering for her uncleanness. And so this was 40 days after, according to Leviticus 12. She needed to wait 33 days after the circumcision of the child to come. And so she came to offer the sacrifice. And the sacrifice was two turtle doves or a pair of pigeons. This tells us that they were quite poor, because in the law it also says you should offer a lamb, but if you can't afford the lamb, this is the alternative offering. And so they brought that offering. They also would have brought an offering for their son. The firstborn son was to be redeemed by 5 shekels of silver, according to Numbers 18:16. So Mary and Joseph come into the temple to perform these sacrifices, to offer these sacrifices. And so this is the occasion for Joseph and Mary entering the temple. Simeon, led by the Spirit into the temple just at this time. He's been waiting, looking, trusting in God's promises to see the Messiah. His faithful diligence is to trust the promises of God, and he is about to be richly rewarded. And so we see in verse 28, he takes the baby up in his arms. He sees Mary and the child, and the promise of God is fulfilled. And the excitement has to just be welling up within him as he actually takes this child from its mother, because he's so excited to see the baby Jesus, the Messiah. His heart was exploding with joy. God's promise had come true. He was holding the consolation of Israel. He was cradling in his arms the promised Messiah, the promise of God from the Old Testament, from the whole history of the Old Testament, was now in his arms. I imagine Simeon with a look of loving astonishment as he looks at that baby that he's cradling, gently scooping him up from Mary, overwhelmed with joy and gladness. And Luke tells us that he blessed God. He couldn't help but praise God, to bless God. Here was the promised Messiah who would be the Savior of the whole nation. But more importantly, here was the Savior who would be Simeon's personal Savior. And this is a beautiful picture of personal reception of Christ. The Bible teaches that saving faith is much more than mere agreement with the facts of the gospel. It includes love for Christ. It includes reception of Christ. You remember the greatest commandment. Jesus was put to the test. Jesus said, It's the one you repeat, Jews repeat twice a day from Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. That is the first and greatest commandment. There is no salvation without love for Christ. Christianity isn't about just believing a creed or going through the right motions or joining the right church or any of that. It's about faith in the Son of God who came down to die for your sins, and it includes a love for God from the heart. Simeon had that love. And John tells us that all who receive Christ, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Faith is personal reception. Simeon holding the little baby is a physical picture of a spiritual reality. That everyone must receive Christ. You must embrace Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is not enough to just acknowledge the facts of the gospel. James says in James 2:19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Orthodox doctrine is important, but it's not enough. The Pharisees believe the Bible. Saving faith is personal trust in Christ and his work on the cross in your place for the forgiveness of your sins. Faith is trusting in him, which means you're not trusting in yourself to save yourself, your own good works or your own religion or your own charity or your own righteous achievements. You've come to the Lord poor. You've said, I have nothing to offer. I'm a sinner in need of salvation, and I throw myself at the foot of the cross. Pray for the forgiveness of all my sins in the name of Christ. And saving faith involves this personal reception. It is a relationship with the living God. In the spring, we celebrate Easter, right? The music team's like, oh, I don't want to think about that just right now. We celebrate the resurrection. Christ is living. Christ is not just an idea. He's not just the historical Christ, although he is that. Christ is the living Savior, sits at the right hand of the Father, who when Stephen was stoned, Stephen looked to heaven and saw him stand up. Jesus is the Savior you must embrace. You must love with all your heart. You must trust to forgive you of all your sins, that his sacrifice was sufficient on the cross. You must come empty, and then you will leave full like Simeon. Simeon took him in his arms, a picture of receiving Christ. And then verses 29 to 32 are what's called Simeon's song. I want to read the whole thing to you again. It's short. Lord, now you are, as he's holding the baby, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. He sees the Messiah and he sees life, life eternal. He says, this child is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. Darkness represents sin. All people walk in sin. We're all born in sin. We all commit sin. But the light of the Messiah, the light of Jesus, shines in the darkness. And it shows us our sin, and it reveals to us eternal life that is in him. The light of the Messiah is the saving light. The light that chases out the darkness of sin and death, and the light that gives eternal life. This is what Simeon looked right in the face at. The light of life in Jesus Christ. John says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light of Christ shines into darkened hearts and gives eternal life. John 8:12, and again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The baby in Simeon's arms was the divine Savior of the world. He was the Messiah who would fulfill all the Old Testament promises of salvation and eternal blessings. Simeon was looking at salvation. And then, circling back up to verse 29, Simeon not only had the promise of God that he believed with all his heart, And then when he sees the baby Jesus, he takes him up in his arms, a picture of personal reception of faith in Christ. And he beholds the very salvation of God. And lastly, he departs in peace. Verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. The promise was, he's probably an old man, probably well known in Jerusalem, probably frequents the temple area. Certainly since he received the promise, he frequented the temple. He probably went there often. He says, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. He was ready to go home to heaven because he had seen and received God's salvation in Christ. He had peace. He was departing in peace. No anxiousness, no worry about where he would end up. When I take that last breath, when I close my eyes, lay my head on the pillow, and I exit into eternity, am I going to go up or am I going to go down? Am I going to wake in joyful bliss in the presence of God, or am I going to be in eternal torment and regret? He didn't have that worry. He had peace. That's my prayer for you tonight, is you would have peace this Christmas, that you would know. You would know that you have eternal life because you placed your faith in the risen Christ, the one who died for you, the living God. The Apostle Paul said, if you put your faith in Christ, you will be counted righteous, not because of any good works, but because of the good work of Christ on the cross in your behalf. He said, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before Martin Luther came to faith in Christ, he was asked about the righteousness of God. He said, I hate the righteousness of God, because he was trying to attain it by his own good works. And Luther was an honest monk. And he went to confession and he wore out his confessors because he confessed every sin of his unredeemed heart. And they finally said, Luther, stop coming and wearing us out. Confess a sin and come back and confess it. He says, these are sins. I'm not righteous because what's going on in my heart is very unrighteous. He said, I hated the righteousness of God. And then he read Romans 1:17, that the righteous will live by faith. And he said, it was like the doors of paradise opened up for me. And I understood that the righteousness of God was nothing I could attain, but it was something that God gives. It's an alien righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ counted to everyone who believes by faith. This is peace in your heart. Knowing that you can stop striving, knowing that you don't have to earn it because Christ already did. You need to put your faith in him to receive this peace and depart in peace. Be ready to go in peace, just like Simeon. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, our loving Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate tonight. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your great love for us to send that precious, sinless Son of God to take on flesh, to be our atoning sacrifice, so that we might have eternal life, not by our works, but by faith alone in Christ alone. We thank you for this grace of salvation. I pray for my friends who are here tonight, Lord. I pray that they would leave in peace, having received your peace through faith in Christ. Lord, that is the greatest gift. And we give you thanks, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.